Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." In the name of Jesus. Amen. Palm Sunday, the crowd shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then Good Friday, they shout, "Crucify him." The question is it the same crowd? Because how could in the same week, the same group change their mind so rapidly? Surely they are two different crowds. Both are shouters, but not shouting the same thing. Some might call the difference today a clash between the supporters and the haters. Whose camp are you in? Because you can choose a side. We live in a democracy, after all. Jesus even stood before a governor who gave the people the choice. But truth be told, we all wave a tree at Jesus in one form or fashion. A small branch or a thick block. Either in gestures or moments of praise or else resistance. Either way, something in us is reacting to him, consciously or not. Save me, Jesus, or else just leave it alone, Jesus. This Palm Sunday, we wonder about the wave and the shout. The true shout coming. The true shout comes when we take a look at what Jesus is shouting. Jesus, in Matthew 21, doesn't shout, though. He directs the disciples to bring him a donkey and a colt, something he needs, something that speaks volumes without uttering a word. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, "Behold, your king is coming to you." And that's how he is going to come. Lowly, not with a shout, not yet. It's more like a whisper. In Matthew 27, Jesus doesn't begin to shout either. Pilate asked him if he is in fact the king of the Jews. Jesus says, "You have said so." That's just a polite nod of the head. "Uh-huh, you said it." Then, after the haters yell, Jesus is taken by a battalion who strips him naked, mocks him by putting a scarlet robe on him and a crown of thorns upon his head. They spit on him, hit him with a reed on the head. You see, eventually everyone shakes some piece of wood at Jesus. Does Jesus shout then? No. He can barely even talk now. They have to get a guy on the street to carry his cross. And then next, they won't even give Jesus water to drink. He is nailed to a cross in front of a crowd. Then other shouters come out of the woodwork, like festering termites deriding him. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Then the true shout comes. The true shout comes when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, that's shouting, by the way, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you hate noise? Do you hate when someone yells at you? Personally, I have a minor trauma to it, and I blame it on being in the military. Not necessarily directed at me, but just in my space. It was either that or hearing a lot of noise from machinery and guns. This may sound silly, but now I can't even stand the sound of a vacuum cleaner anymore. It actually drives me bananas to the point I have to leave the room or else drown it out with loud white noise or put earmuffs over my head. Sometimes I want to shout. When the bystanders heard Jesus shout for the first time, they didn't blame it on a vacuum cleaner, though. They assumed he was calling for help, help from a famous prophet. It got their attention anyway. Then Jesus cried out again. The word in the Greek for cry there is actually the word for croak. It is used by us now as a slang for death. The guy croaked. And that's no coincidence. But it truly means to scream with a piercing shriek. A true shout so powerful that it rips the temple curtain in two. It rocks the earth into pieces. It shakes, which is the word agitated. The earth was agitated and the rocks split. And at that true shout, tombs are even opened. Some dead are raised. You see, the true shout and the croak comes. And then Jesus sends forth. He lets go of, yields his spirit. That is an intensive letting go. A discharge and release as like only a commanding officer can permit. It's loud. Now, where is your sticks waving? Your shout targeting? Because true shouts hurt. Think about that the next time you yell at your spouse, your kids, your coworker. Are you shouting, "A blessed is he," or "Crucify him"? Ultimately, the true shout comes at the cross. But it doesn't just stop there. It reverberates in a borrowed tomb. Not a king's tomb, but a shouter's tomb. And from there, well, you just have to wait until next Sunday for that. For now, Pilate has a guard of soldiers stand watch and seal the tomb because the haters are shouting at him. We remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, "After 3 days, I will rise." We remember. Isn't that what happens, though, when you shout at people? They begin to remember and say, "Oh, now you remember. It took me having to get loud, didn't it?" The true shout at the cross likewise says, "Do you remember? Do you remember my shout and what it caused?" It'll mess you up way more than a vacuum cleaner if you try to imagine it. Even on the Good Friday service, the little tradition that we have at the end of the Good Friday service is that loud noise, the slamming of the book, we call it. That often is enough to give you nightmares afterwards on Good Friday. I've often heard people say, "Wow, I'm still shaken up about that loud noise last night." But the true shout that comes has to. He has to come to sweep house. He actually fills the vacuum of both the supporters and the haters. Because sin, death, and the power of the devil is on both sides. So it doesn't matter what stick you shake at it. The results are the same. You need a king. You need a governor to rule your hearts and minds. Jesus doesn't call himself those titles here, however. He says, "Put me on a mule. Hang me on a cross. Then I will display the power of a true shout." And it's true, because it really did happen. And because it really did happen, then the outcome of it, the benefit from it, literally does happen too. Tombs are opened. Resurrection is real. Because Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" This cry points us to Jesus' real human nature. He knows what pain felt like, what loneliness is, and it highlights the full and deep sense in which Jesus, as our brother, has been exalted by God the Father over sin, death, and the devil, so that our future in him is secure. What comfort does that his state of humiliation then bring us? It brings a true shout. I will be with you in all your troubles. He can, according to the nature by which he is our brother, and we are flesh of his flesh. The true shout's purpose is to deliver you. His power and his majesty transfers to you his actual divine attributes, no matter what you throw at him. He descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and will return in his state of exaltation this time. The right hand of God means even now he is loud, no longer silent. The cross and empty tomb has said it all, and nothing on earth will ever be louder in reality than that. But for today, in the here and now, the true shout that comes will be a sweet and loving command for you today. Take, eat, take, drink. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. As it is written, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. O, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. See, he declares his beneficial shout because it's most certainly the blood of Jesus speaking that good word. It shouts, not to scare you. From heaven to earth, it is to be confessed as a loving whisper. As the psalm of David today prays, save me into your steadfast love. And they shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. That shout is answered. Not covered with white noise, but covered with the blood of Jesus, shouting out. We all wave a tree at Jesus. Don't you see? And then, like the Palm Sunday crowd, he responds and he shouts for us. And that's enough. We are to leave it at that. Jesus' last shout becomes a lullaby, really. A hush, little baby. Hush and don't say a word. Because Jesus, by it, by his word, his last breath, will send you a mighty bird. His Spirit. He committed that to you in the true shout. He made it possible for you to have the name Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he is the one who blesses in the name of the Lord, and the only one who comes and keeps coming with a true shout. The wave followed by the true shout is not a stick, but a cross. It is a Spirit yielding. It is a tomb sealed, but only for a few days. Then salvation is revealed. And it all culminates in this. Shouters, or whatever you want to call them, Jesus died for. And in him, we are now recipients of his choice. The choice to truly shout. And all we can say now is, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he. Give me this true shout always. In the name of Jesus, amen.